I love simplistic design. Like, it's just very, very minimalistic coloration. And,
and the color, that's a buff color, isn't it? Buff, I suppose. Buff. A bit like you, buff.
Buff, yeah, oh yeah, absolutely like me. You look up the word buff in the dictionary, there's a picture of me saying, wrong. I am Ross. Joining me is my co-host Ian, and together, just basically trying to get by in today's climate, we are attempting to drink Nova Scotia dry. I couldn't think of anything clever to do, but we always have the conversation every week where we decide what to do, and we kind of, I feel like we occasionally dare each other into what to do, and this week I said, well, dare we do strong IPAs, because we had a couple in there, and we have some 7.0%, not doubles, just single, well, actually, no, one is an Imperial IPA. But, the strong IPAs, and Ian just remarked, just before we went live, that you wouldn't normally look forward to this, but you are.
I'm really excited. I've got a bit of a taste for IPAs now. Just when everyone else is getting a little tired of them, I'm kind of like, oh, go on, give me a juicy IPA, or a strong IPA, or a double IPA, even give me the triples. They're fruity things, and they're just... kind of doing stuff for me now that they didn't used to.
We're late to the juicy hazy IPA party, and everyone else has switched over to Japanese rice lagers, and I don't like Japanese rice lagers. So everyone's gonna have one of those. Everyone's got their Japanese rice lager. We're gonna have to start having Japanese rice lager night eventually.
Oh yeah, there's gonna be six of those on every episode just to get trawl through them all.
Regardless, the first one that we have here is coming in at 7.0 on the old ABV scale. It's from Hilltop Hops Brewhouse, which I don't want to say is in Windsor. Brooklyn in Hants County, just a little bit east of Windsor, is the Hop Storm IPA. Very minimalistic on the can. You basically got to go in and talk to the brewer himself. And I've chatted with him a few times when I do go in, because I'm down in Windsor. Now and again. However, I did find something. It's an old Atlantic Canada beer blog entry of the Hilltop Hops profile, because they're actually, this is a very old one, because they're announcing Hilltop Hops' opening. So this was one of their flagship beers prior to the opening. And the reason it's called the Hop Storm, you're going to love this, it is made with 6 kinds of hops in 5 editions. Wow. So they added in 5 different edition times. But all the hops, this was at least the original one, are made on the farm. So it's all sourced from right there at Hilltop Hops, because they have a hop farm. It says a strong and delicious 6.6.
It's 6.6?
Well, that was the first one. So okay. I think this is obviously from the later batches.
Right.
As this does say 7.0 on the can. But again, we've learned that on the can, a 0.5 variance is acceptable.
Yeah, it's crazy, isn't it?
Could be anything. Could be anywhere. Mine fizzled and foamed a little bit. It actually smells rather, ooh.
What's the smell?
There's a sweetness. Like a caramel sweetness. I was not expecting that. I don't know if I'm just sort of putting that into, using my imagination, but there's like a citrusy.
You're getting, did you say caramel? I'm not getting that. One would imagine if they're throwing a whole array of different hops in there, they're probably doing the same with malt. So maybe there's a sweetness to it that a little more. It's not got the immediate smack of an IPA.
No, no, it smells very unassuming.
Okay.
You don't think?
It's quietly unassuming.
It's very quietly unassuming. You're not getting a sweetness out of this. Or
it's maltier than hops. It's not. I'm not getting a bang of hops up me hooter. It's gone. It's dissipated. Whatever it was. It's maltier than I expected it to be.
Did you get a lot of fizz out of yours?
Oh, I did. Yeah. I had it in the fridge for 40 minutes from when it came in.
This is what's
So at least it has cooled down. So usually that means there's not going to be a crazy head on it. This looks like I might have done this to absolute perfection, Roster.
Fine.
Okay. maybe.
If you want to do perfect pours, you're welcome to. Of course,
this is one of those child's cans, 355.
for small stature people, for sure.
Child beer. Yeah. Look at the color of that.
It's beautiful, isn't it? It's very amber. I was not expecting it to be quite this amber.
Oh.
Lovely. Oh, I want
so that. You're getting a sweetness now, and so am I.
You're smelling and, it now.
Yeah, I am. I am.
I know that it's citrus or the hop basis, but it's almost smelling like, I want to say milk chocolate or caramel. There's such a sweetness to it.
Okay.
I could.
Caramel. I don't know. I'm not sure about that, but if we give it a taste, I'm excited. I can't wait. I've had a long 12-hour shift, and I am more than ready for some libation. And I'm really looking forward to Frosty Giant because it's a big one.
Yep.
So, can I cheers you already?
Yeah. Go ahead. Go right ahead. I'll continue to wax poetic over. I will talk about the lovely frothy head on my small pint here. Also appreciative that I've got, I think it's six, it looks like a small 16-ounce glass. This is the sort of the little bit of an hourglass bend to it from Hill Top Hops, my official gloth, as it were, which you can't see because it's because the head is covering. Oh, there we go. Hilltop Hops Brewhouse. Get the branding.
Wow, the malt comes in later. The hops were up front in the, and then the malt, and I am getting some caramel off of it, actually, Ross. Wow. Some sweetness in the taste too. The hops are up front, and then in the middle, there is a nice maltiness, and there is some sweetness on the back end. You're going to... Oh, I'm not going to put words in your mouth. You put the beer in your mouth. I think you're going to like this.
That would be nice. All right, I'll try to get myself through the froth, through the head here. Hang on.
Yeah. I think you're going to like this. Confidently predicting that you're going to say,
Wow. Okay. Oh, okay.
Did you get it?
It's sweet, then hoppy, then malty. And are you getting a smokiness through that? That's... Oh, here's the problem. I didn't have all the juice was at the bottom of the can. There's the problem. Oh, look at this. The cloudiness. You see the cloudiness getting in there?
Oh yeah.
Swirling at the bottom. Clear.
No, I'm.
Oh.
You suggested a smokiness. Not really. Not for me. Okay. Oh, wonderful. Isn't it good to have a beer in the evening? You should do this more often.
I know. I mention this every now and then. I think, one, would we still be, kind of hanging out, talking on the regular, as we do, if we didn't do this? If we didn't math something out and make sure, yes, something's on the books, we're going to do this, it's an organizational whatnot, and we're doing it on purpose. Or would we even get to drink as many of these interesting beers if we didn't say to ourselves, that's it, we're going to do this, we're going to try to go through every little one, try all the weird ones? I don't think we would.
No, I'd have cut you 2 years ago, I think, if it wasn't for the beer. You'd have just been a memory. I know. meet you once every now and again in some strange makeup on a ghost walk evening. And we're like, hey, how you doing? But no, that'd have been it.
Yep.
Done.
Well, I was trying to mention that we seem to have turned... What I like doing is turning a hobby into something that you'd otherwise miss out on, and just trying to finding reasons to do things on the regular that you wouldn't if you didn't set a schedule for it. And I find that life gets more and more complicated. I have to actually say, right, I am sitting down and I'm going to, it is Wednesday night, I'm going to sit down and have two craft beers from a Nova Scotia. Boom. That's the thing I'm going to do. And I couldn't be happier.
I was amazed that at the speed with which the next one comes around, because I yesterday it was, wasn't it, when I messaged you and said, "What are we doing tomorrow?" And sometimes I've got there and I'm thinking, "Have we already done it this week? What day is it? Surely we've already done it this week." And then all of a sudden, I message you saying, "Oh shit, we're here again. Yep. What are we doing? I've not got anything." I know we've normally got quite an abundance of beers to choose from, thanks to you mostly. but there is still some organisation needed to sort of get kind of like for like.
Yeah,
if not
a little. We've mostly just gotten very lucky with having an abundance of things to try from. And then my attempts to reach out and try to say, oh, hey, you want to come on and listen to it, and having guests on board. And we've had busy months and non-busy months. I feel like we're getting into kind of a vacation-y time right now. We're not many people around, but I'm still reaching out. And I think 1 month we had two in a row, and then you were away, and then we had another guest, and it felt like there was just so many weeks, and I started to notice that if we had a guest every week, I think I'd be exhausted. Because I felt exhausted.
They're always longer as well, and there's science involved, and we learn so much that you need to go for a lie down, maybe take the next day off.
I think I just put a lot more pressure on myself when we have a guest, you know?
Yeah.
Sound professional. Ask the right questions. Talk about their beer. Try to, you know, make it focus on spotlighting, highlighting and spotlighting the brewery without sounding like a complete douche while doing it. And I'm
assuming you have been to Hilltop Hops.
Oh, yes. I mean, a few times.
Yeah. Right. Okay. That picture behind you, the photograph behind you.
Mm-hmm.
Did you take that, or was that a generic one from offline? Online?
Did I take this one? There's the glass, and I might have got this one online, but I know. Okay. I did take one. So maybe this is mine. I'm not sure.
And their establishment? Did you have something to eat when you were there?
No.
Or are you literally?
I don't know that Hilltop Hops is a food.
I see.
Establishment. Hilltop Hops, there's this. Okay, so come to our brew house, about us, our hop yard, our beer. Nothing in here talks about the menu.
Okay.
Offering live music, comedy, and more. Oh! Oh! Speaking of comedy, do you know what's happening right now at one of our favorites, Roof Hound Brewing Company up in Kingston, Nova Scotia?
I'm going to guess that, because you said talking of comedy and Roof Hound, I'm going to guess that Roof Hound are having a comedy night.
No! Mud wrestling. Oh. Yes, it is actually a comedy night.
Naked Jello Wrestling.
Yeah, that's the one. So that's going on tonight. Les messaged me to remind me about that, because we were there last month. And I said, because I was going to try to look at that on Instagram. I was curious about that coming up. And then I said, nope, I will be there for the next one. Which
I think I will as well. I think I'm going to, would you be my conduit to reach Les and say, hey, man, I think Ian's on board too. If I'm not working nights or something, if it's the same kind of...
I absolutely will, but the day of, because I was talking to, it was Cassian Furlot who hosted it last time, and then this most recent one was not hosted by Cassian. It was hosted by the gentleman who's performing... same night recently, and I am going to try to find this here. John Foster is tonight's host, and I think he was performing the last time they were there. But when I got there at the beginning of the night, Cassian kind of announced, hey, if anyone would like to come up and do anything, come and talk to me. So it's a very, at this stage in the whole proceedings, get up. If you're the first one in the door, just walk in and say, I will... One yeah. Comedy, please. I will do the microphone thing. Let's go.
Yeah, I'm going to give it a go.
But
I'll
get your name. I'll get your name on the invite list, and then we're there. Do you know who I think would be quite good at it? Tim Vallely. I think he'd spin a good yarn. Yeah. Because when Les went up, he wasn't doing comedy. He wasn't being a stand-up comedian. He was just telling a funny story. And the other guy who was mixing the drinks, he just said, here's a funny story that happened to me when I worked on a cruise line. And I like that kind of thing. I would just like to hear people go up and tell funny stories. I think that'd be a hoot.
Right. Well, you'll love what I've got in mind then. Yeah, we'll go next month, mate. We'll make a plan. Have some fun with that. Hilltop Hops. I don't think there's been a Hilltop Hops brew. I keep hitting me box. That we haven't gone. Oh, that's good. They've been pretty much resounding, haven't they?
Mm. Our average score for them is 7.8. According to this.
That means nothing to me.
I know. I just like having numbers. But I recall enjoying quite a number of theirs. Not all of them are in the can. Some of them were in the bottles for a bit. Oh, no. Yeah, didn't we have, like, the new porter? In fact, yeah, behind me on the thing, we can go down. The Tidal Bord Blonde, we tried that. The new porter, yep. The Avondale Cream Ale, I'm pretty sure we had that. Hants County Proud Ale. If it's not still in the thing, Hopstorm IPA, and the Red Tail and the Pilsner. What the heck is in there? Hilltop Hops. What am I still hiding?
Huh. I wish you could see my new configuration, Ross. I've walloped my box now twice with my hand. I got, not only is my Wi-Fi now stable, as you probably, I think I've mentioned now, the last two or three.
You did?
Great. But I, you know, I, that, I said I saw one of those tripod thingies.
With the bendy legs, but, like the octopus thing.
Well, it was called the Tentacle or something. I can't remember. Anyway, that one seemed to be sold out all over Amazon. So it's very popular. But I did find another one, and my phone it arrived yesterday in the mail. And I'm using it today. And it's got the bendy legs and the tripod. And I'm already in love with this thing.
I want to ask you to show it to me because I want to see how complicated it might be. You're not going to try?
Well, no, I could. Hang on a second. This is so exciting. So exciting. Ooh. Hang on. I'm so into this whole idea now of having a phone and a... Hang on.
And
you want to see my tripod?
Several toilet rolls. Oh.
Yes.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
Yeah.
We had a neat little one that was like, it was shaped like a desktop microphone stand. It had a little weight and then a little bendy, like a gooseneck bendy thing. And then that had that stretchy phone grabber. But the problem is it was kind of a cheap plasticky thing we found at Winners. And the first thing we did was we brought it home and we tried using it. In fact, we were using it for our Burger Wars thing. And we brought our son to our Burger Wars review. And the first thing he did was grab both ends of it and went snap.
Ah.
And tore it in half.
Yeah, they'll do that.
It did only cost $9. So I hope...
This was 25, I think, or something. But I'm already a big fan. And I've hauled into the 21st century now. And I'm going to buy a selfie stick next if I keep going this way.
Okay, if you told me... Okay, first of all, you're having an IPA. I would go, ugh. And then say, oh, wait, it's got 5 hops in it. I would just say, ugh. And then you hand me this. This is outstanding.
It's good, isn't it?
I love this. This is so good. You know how I said that it was sort of it was hoppy, and then there was it was sweet, and then hoppy, and then sweet again? There was sort of a little journey. That was before I mixed in all the good sea monkeys at the bottom of the can. So with 100% consistency of what the beer is supposed to be in the can, from the can over to the gloss... smooth?
Yes, and also it has the malty profile that I'm now coming to associate with dark IPAs, the black IPAs. It's got that that maltiness and the sweetness that I don't need to take this podcast into the gutter, but I just burped, and as I did so, there was a maltiness to my belch. To wax poetical about that, which I didn't get. You know, in the past, if you just have an IPA, a really acidic single hot IPA, if I burped, it was like acid reflux. It was like, ah, there it is.
Yeah, it hurts.
But this is a far smoother burp, which is it's only a compliment. It's the biggest compliment I can pay it, to be honest. It's the smoothest burp I'm likely to have with an IPA.
I really wish... That we got the breweries watching this or listening to this either or, and then our little one-offs and sound bites would pop up. They just have it on a bit of paper up on the wall. Or just, oh, have you tried the Hopstorm IPA? Someone's in there, no, and you just gesture at the wall, and there's a picture of Ian's, you know, thumbs up with it. Best burp in
the. Smoothest belch.
Smoothest burp in Nova Scotia craft beer. And people look at that and go, well,
well, Like you say, a hop storm would have scared the bejesus out of us.
Yeah.
Just by the name itself, just a mere few months ago. But we've learned a lot, and we've come a long way. And also, let's be honest, Ross, and the brewers themselves will say the same thing. They're learning as well. Their IPAs are more discerning now, I'm sure. They're not just going hop heads.
Yeah.
Give them as much as much hoppy, acidy as they can handle. They are refining their beers, and we've noticed it. They're just better.
I would pause with a friend. If you're handing someone, here you go, here's a 7% IPA, and they say, oh, good, because I'm a big hop head. I'd say, you might not like this one then.
This yeah, that's right.
Might not quite be your cup of tea.
Yeah. These belches aren't going to burn.
Honestly, that is climbing past a 9 for me. That's some 9.
I wasn't right then when I said I think you're going to like this.
I
think it's great. Dude,
going back for more of that. 9293. You know, what was the question? The Kuva Labs question. Would you order another one? I am going next level. I'm thinking to myself, when's the next time I can drive to Windsor to go and buy more of that?
Mm.
We're not just at, I'll have another one when the server comes by. Like, where do you live? I will come to your house and drink more of this beer.
It's 7%,
mm-hmm.
and it's still only classed as an IPA. We've been through this a number of times. Where do we need to get to for it to be classed as a double IPA?
Well, also, if you're adding hops 5 times, doesn't that make it a quintuple IPA?
I seem to think you said 6 at the outset, that there were 6 different hops. I might be wrong.
It should be hop-centric. So a double IPA should be hop-centric. Go away. Because it doesn't, because you're adding just as much. I want to try the IPA and the double IPA, blah, 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 blah. Can resemble everything from pale ale to a barley. Is your intention to provide some sort of balance to offset the what? What? I found the completely wrong site entirely. What is a double IPA versus an IPA? Have you ever looked at a beer? Every year, IPA is an India pale ale is a hopped up version of a pale ale. Fine. The American beer scene, blah, blah, blah. One of the chief innovations of the style is the double IPA, an amped up IPA, features extra hops and malt. So it's not...
It doesn't necessarily...
It's not the variety.
There you go. It's the amount of hop. It could have been the same hop, but just twice as many of them. You could have exactly the same quantity, but with 18 different hops. It's not going to make it in... I don't know what that is. You just said that a quint or sextopopper hot IPA. I don't know what an 18 would be. Anyway, you get my point. It doesn't matter how many different varieties you put in, as you were quite rightly saying there. It's just the quantity of in the mash.
Huh. You may have seen other heavily hopped brews on the store shelf with names like Extra IPA or Imperial IPA. Is there a difference? The truth is, no. And the decision to use one name over another comes down to marketing. The names have varied origins, but they all refer to the same class of bigger and bolder beers. Some sort of midway beer. The Extra is halfway between an IPA and a double IPA, but the IPAs cover up to a 7.0, they're saying, and then 7.0 is, and up is into a double IPA country. So the Frost Giant might actually be a double IPA. I don't know what's happening.
And it's called itself the Imperial, which is what you just mentioned.
Yeah, and that apparently it's all in the name. It's just the naming scheme of things. So let's move on. I'm happy with like a 9. I will give that a 9.3 out of 10.
I think it's a 9 for me. I don't think...
Amazing.
I don't want to drink the last bit because I want to compare with my Brightwood. And seems a bit of a vacuous experiment now with this because the Brightwood one, of course, it's gone. This is going to be no matter how good or bad it is, it's not going to matter because they're
not going to be able to get this anymore. So, Brightwood Brewery of Dartmouth, Nova Scotia, sadly no longer in business. They closed shop six seven months ago, but this is our last one. In the Brightwood closet, the Frost Giant Imperial IPA coming in at 7.5% alcohol. So this is the The swan song, the last hurrah of the frost giant, says, warm your bones with this malty West Coast style beast. Ooh. And then tasting notes. It has 3 out of 5 citruses, 4 out of 5 bitternesses, 3 out of 5 malts, and 2 out of 5 on the hazometer. And then the last bit is an Instagram post I have from a few years ago. Frost Giant Imperial, 7.5% West Coast leaning Imperial IPA is guaranteed to warm your bones this season with its decidedly malty, balanced booziness and noticeable bitterness profile.
You like the can?
I do.
It strikes me. It's like a Norwegian troll kind of feel to it. Is the what I get from that?
Certainly Nordic.
Yeah.
Well, it's just blue. Yeah. You know, within the icy at the front. There's no images of an actual what I would consider to be a frost giant through all of my years of.
Well, I'm imagining there is one. I'm imagining
some RPGs and whatnot.
Just bestriding through the... You can see... And you can see this clearing, and it's very frosty. And I can totally imagine a big troll or something. Very cold, icicles on the end of its nose. They put a lot of thought into that.
Continue holding up the can, because I'll tell you the next piece of the Instagram post is the label was expertly designed by our very own Jill Caldwell.
Ah.
So there you are. And finally, a little bit of hey, tell us who's making these designs. Tell us who's putting pen to paper here for your whatnot. The smell.
Who designed Hilltop's one?
I don't know. The Beatles, right?
Oh, you've already poured. My God, I'm behind.
I have not poured. No, it's only coming off the top. I'm having a problem. I've cracked it open and I'm giving it a wee whiff. There was a bit of foam to clean up, but apart from that, crap.
Quite different. The smell is so different from our Hilltop favourite.
Yeah.
The bouquet? What do you think of the bouquet?
I'd say certainly the tannins are really screaming, bursting flavour forth.
I'm glad it's the big can, it's the 473,
what do you
but it's brimming already. There was every single square for a cubic milliliter. That's the thing, right?
The whole thing.
It was used.
The color remains amber. These are some thick, delicious, darkened. Malt. Yes. Yeah. And not to say that I don't like a weaker IPA, because in fact, I brought a Brickenbark's Session IPA with me down to a family dinner where we were getting together for the traditional curry that my mother makes. And she likes to have a nice, tasty beer with that. And I thought, a session IPA, you know, a lower percentage where it's like lager but with a pop, bit of a zing. I thought she might like that.
Mm.
I thought it went great with dinner, but I might have been alone. I think everyone...
Oh.
They're quite happy with their Toller Gold, but I thought, let's mix it up. Let's try some 4.5 IPA from Brick and Bark, which I thought was delicious, quite tasty.
This also has a massive sweetness thing going on.
I'm not getting it in the smell as much as I was getting out of the Hilltops one, though.
I am, with my nose right in the glass.
No, this is smelling more like a...
malty to me. Very sweet, malty. This is going to be amazing. This is going to be sad, actually, because if this is amazing, and they don't make it anymore, I'll be like, well, what a waste. It's like Bad Apple. Having that Imperial Russian Stout, we were like, oh, this is what? This is so crazily amazing, and they're never going to make it again.
Cray-mazing. There's a good band name we should look up. Cray-mazing.
It's not as good as Sparklefinger, I'm sorry.
I don't think it's as good as Sparklefinger. You are right. Yeah. I'll have to write both of those down.
Are you not getting the sweetness off of this?
I'm not. Not. Not as much as I was getting a huge sweetness the whole way through of the Hilltop Hops one. And now it makes me worried because I wasn't getting the correct balance in the Hilltops until I poured the whole can into the glass. And this one is taking its sweet time getting in there.
There's a
ton. Okay, a little high on the bitterness scale.
Is it going to be quite, it also has an ESB smell as well.
Malty
sweet and quite, and a little bit, a little spice thing going on as well.
Did you see the rankings on the back here? With the citrus, bitterness, malt, haze. So far, out of the smell and the few licks that I'm getting off the side of the can, fully accurate. And they did say West Coast IPA, which I have discovered. I will drink a New England IPA all day long, but the West Coast, I feel like the West Coast IPAs, that's where the hop heads have gone.
Oh,
that's where the, how bitter and
fine.
It's just going to make you go, you know, the shuddering IPAs, I feel, are the West Coast ones. And I haven't found a West Coast one to prove me wrong yet. Oh, you got it all.
It does look bloody awesome, doesn't it?
Well, I mean, yes.
It's an awesome looking pint, that. It's art. That's art. Oh, look at all that dusky stuff going on. It's cloudy. It's clouding over.
Mm-hmm.
It's like... it's just like mid-afternoon in Edinburgh. There's the cloud coming in.
Or like this,
it's gonna
bloody
piss down.
Province for the last month. I am so glad that we're having these kind of stormy ones. So they're talking about a storm this Friday. I think tomorrow is going to be the first sunshine we've seen in something like 3 weeks. And then we're getting a snowstorm on Friday. Like, come on!
A snowstorm?
Well,
on Friday?
I won't say snowstorm. But certainly snow something. Here we go. Let's Friday. No, showers. Saturdays, rain showers or flurries. But they're calling for some sort of storm is happening further down in like Halifax, and they're saying, you know, it's all going to be up like Cumberland. Oh, I heard a guy on the radio today. This was my favorite part. He said, and then of course up in the northern part of Nova Scotia, you know, like Hants County. I went,
oh, yeah,
time out. Oh, I'm sorry. Tell me you're from South End Halifax without telling me you're from South End Halifax by calling Hants County Northern Nova Scotia. Get out of town.
This has got a malty smell and slightly...
Really?
Yeah, a bit. I mean, what did it have? Bitter? Three or four there? Yeah, of an ESB. If it tastes like an ESB, then immediately we're going, well, hang on, why is it called an IPA? But it doesn't matter to me, because if it's really good, then I don't care. You can call it you can call it banana. I don't give a damn. If it tastes great, then bring it on.
I'm going to fit the whole thing in here. I think mine are a little fizzy because I took them upstairs and scrubbed off the top a little bit because there was some... That's a nice word for cobwebs. They were a bit cobwebby, a little bit of dust forming in the beer closet there. So I'd like to give them a little wipe down, because sometimes I feel like if I crack one open and all the dust and everything gets in the beer, then you're just drinking spider's eggs. And you know, I've had a good spider egg IPA, and nothing's really gonna match the best one I've ever had. So why bother?
If we've learned something in the last few weeks, it's don't let your beer not be it's the best it can be.
Yeah.
That might be going a little over the top. If you're throwing, Creepy Crawly's offspring at it as well, it's definitely not going to be at its best. And you shouldn't be reviewing it.
Yeah, so I'm trying to remove those.
Good. Good idea.
Oh, my God. It's and he's a haircut now. My beer needs a haircut. Look at that.
Done it again.
I think this is gonna fit the whole 16 if I can get the whole thing in there. Are you gonna go ahead, or you'd still I'm just waxing poetic here. It's taken me the longest time to pour this into the glass.
I'm just tiny little sip there. There is definitely it's to me immediately just off that sip, it is like a slightly hoppier version of an ESB.
Hmm.
And that's not necessarily a bad thing.
Well, the hoppy bitterness part of an ESB is the part that I like the least. This is just the funniest.
Oh, but I like it, Ross.
You do?
Okay. I like it.
Well, I mean, we're there. We're there. We are hop favorite, hop forward favoring hop drinkers. I don't know.
Yeah, it's definitely it's double IPA. Smoothness. You haven't tried it yet, have you? You haven't put it to your lips. You haven't put it. It's an ice cream float. It's got an ESB ish. Just see what you're doing there. With a hoppier backbone. IPA with a bitterness and a slight spicy end to it.
I do not recommend doing that, and I'm not feeling too good about my decisions. Yeah, there we go. I'm getting some the good cloudiness at the bottom.
I like it.
Okay. Oh, ooh. I just got a bit of a taste off of that, and it tastes strong. That was the thing about the Hop Storm. It did not taste strong. There was no... Oh, I had the shudder. Oh, remember we were talking about the IPA shudder. This one's giving me the shudder. That's a proper West Coast. That's
And now, actually...
Right.
Now, after a bigger swig, there is a real dryness to the end of it as well. It's a real dry finish.
Hmm.
I'm not really enjoying the aftertaste. There's a very, very dry aftertaste to it.
All right. Well, here goes.
Yeah, I'll allow you your moment in the spotlight.
I have many moments in the spotlight. Huh.
I preferred it. The front end. The back's got a funny kind of lingering...
It tastes way boozier than the other one.
Absolutely. Yes, there is that about it. It's only, 0.5 more, but it's...
But it's a shot of whiskey and a glass of lager.
Yeah, it definitely tastes bolder, for sure.
Strunk.
Are you getting like a kind of aftertaste, it's kind of clinging on a little bit in my mouth, and it's not a great aftertaste. Very dry.
Very dry. Yeah.
Yeah.
Ooh, interesting. So the bit of the sweetness up front, I feel like
I had that.
The overarching flavor seems to be strong. And it just keeps reminding you in different ways, I am strong beer. Yet neither of these... Oh, it does say strong ale at the bottom of this one. Because I think someone reminded us that if it's over a certain percentage, it does need to say strong ale on the can.
And it does. It says strong ale.
It do. The Hop Storm doesn't. I'm wondering if the 7.0 is sort of over-announcing it. Because it doesn't taste as boozy. This one tastes boozy. Like, real boozy.
It's got a four bitterness. Fair enough. What does it say? Does it actually mention the IBUs on this? Because it tastes really quite high. It's really quite bitter for a...
No, just a four out of five.
And it's got the ESB bitterness, but there is something... I don't know whether I really love this.
I like it. It's all right.
It's exciting.
It is.
Because it's got stuff going on in it. That's for sure. It's not a meh beer. There's stuff I'm trying to figure out going on.
Yeah, I'm also trying to figure out the flavoring. Would you prefer or drink this ice cold? Is my first question.
Should I?
I don't know. I mean, what are we getting the wrong...
If it's called Frost Giant, one would argue that maybe that's what they want it to be. But that's just a name. What's in a name? I don't drink my beers ice cold. No. Would this benefit from being a little colder? Possibly. But then if I want the full flavor of the beer, then... It's the temperature I would normally be drinking beers at. So, And I want it. I want to have the full flavour of it. I'm not absolutely sure I'm in love with this. I wouldn't want another one.
It's very interesting. It's heavy.
It is.
The body on it is heavy. And there's almost, is it rich? Am I getting a richness out of this that's making you think, ooh, do not continue to drink this. This is too much. I'm glad I've got it in the stemless wine glass. It makes me feel very posh drinking this very rich tasting beer.
The further down I go, yeah, it's very dry. The finish, I'm not in love with the finish. It's
I think you're right.
I almost want to have a. I do. I actually want to have a glass of water with it. It's a little too. It's a little too challenging for me.
Is it some sort of combination of this malt haze on the back end? The citrus. I think the citrus and the malt and the haze is what I'm getting in the back end. You're getting it. It's malt up front, and then the middle body is a little bit of bitter. And then this interesting richness of this hazy, citrusy thing at the tail end. No, that's not even accurate, because then it makes it sound like it's juicy at the back end. It's not.
It's not a pleasant finish for me, personally.
Is it because it's our second 7.0? And we've got this...
Well, hang on a minute, then. I'm just going to take the merest sip
of
our Hilltop. It's far easier to drink. It's far, far easier. It's lighter. It's it's almost like cleaning my palate after the dankness and the denseness of this Imperial IPA.
You're right. It tastes dense. The body is heavy.
Very heavy. Quite a workout. This is quite a workout.
It does say Imperial. It does say Frost Giant. Yep. So you're kind of getting yourself like, oh, okay, hang on. I've got to gird myself up here.
My ear hairs are actually sprouting.
Malty, balanced booziness, and noticeable bitterness profile. Okay.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I don't know about the balanced booziness, though, because I feel like there's someone went, booze.
There's a massive booziness to it.
Mm.
It's really quite bitter. No, I think it's doing... Where'd you read that from?
This is on the Instagram post from...
Oh, okay. But the bitterness... The bitterness, though, is actually... I'm finding it a little bit overwhelming now. It's not as smooth as I hoped it would be.
No.
Finding it quite a challenge. Have I made that quite plain? I think I have.
It's difficult.
I don't.
It's difficult to drink this.
This is a difficult one to drink. I applaud them for their for the difficulty in trying to to describe it. It's very complex, Ross. This is what I'm saying.
I feel like the glass itself is heavier than the other one. I think I'm just making stuff up at this point.
It's got mercury in it. It's really difficult to. Pin it down. Excuse me, sir. Would you like another one of these Frost Giants as I'm coming around? You know what? No, I don't really want to finish this one either.
Yeah, can I have a nap and then come back next week?
Yeah, can I go have a lie down?
And then, yes. Yeah. So, now that you've tried both, I will reveal to you a message that I got from one Ian Smith, the proprietor of the Tapestry Beer Bar at 813 Lower Sackville Drive. And he mentioned to say, I would go so far to say Hopstorm is mediocre and Frost Giant is terrible.
Oh!
And he said, especially considering it hasn't been made in over 6 months. That's got to make it even worse. And I said, well, Brightwood closed 8 months ago. And I said, but strong beers don't go bad. He said, generally no, but awful ones sure don't get any better.
Okay, so he really didn't like the Frost Giant.
Did not enjoy either of them, apparently. And I'm leaning towards...
Was it mediocre for
Hopstorm is mediocre, says he.
No, I think that's really nice.
I really like that. So if you can rewind and put yourself in my shoes, I was making sure that you didn't know this information, but I had it sort of in the back of my head of... someone I know and respect did not like either of these beers, but I still tried to look forward to it, especially given the fact that I was thirsty for a beer earlier in the day.
Oh, listen, listen. If I was thirsty for a beer and I took a couple of swigs of this Frost Giant, that's not going to slake my thirst.
It is not.
No. But there again, I'm not drinking this to slake my thirst. So let's get that right off the go. I'm not going to drink a big, thick stout to slake my thirst either. So that's not what it's there for. But I'm just finding this a little... I tell you what it does. It's almost like a throwback to how I was approaching IPAs a couple of years ago. In like going, oh, gosh, there's some bitterness and some... just really quite hoppy, but there's some stuff that's kind of turning me a little bit, turning my face a little bit. That's where this is. It's not, and we have learned. I think I said this right at the top of the show. I sound like a pro. That the double IPAs and the stronger affairs, we tend to find far easier to drink. They're smoother. And they're more rounded, even though they're fuller bodied, than their single hop cousins. And this is quite the opposite. I'm finding this because it is, it should be smoother and more easily drinkable. Mm. Did you say that this was more in the style of a West Coast IPA?
It did say it is a West Coast Imperial IPA. West Coast style beast.
Well, then maybe I'm kind of, again, going to have to agree with you that maybe if this is the style of a West Coast stronger IPA, double IPA, Imperial IPA, then maybe I'm not given to these style either. Maybe. If this is typical, it's hard work, and I'm not really enjoying it. I'd drink it if I was in the pub, because this is going to be probably $9 or $10.
It's probably going to be something like that.
Yeah, I'll finish it, but I don't want another one.
I'm not crushing it down in a half hour. This is a sit around and sip. And you know what I would do? I would take this and I would wander around and start introducing myself to random people. Hey, what are you doing here? How's it going? Oh, you work in the film industry. All right. What sort of productions do you work on? This is a get out of my glass beer, as opposed to I live in this glass beer, no one talk to me, I'm enjoying it. Hop Storm is, I am loving this so much, I can't get enough of it. I will not speak. This is a lubricating, socializing, carry this around to the entire pub, get up in front of the open mic comedy night. This, oh man, if this were on tap, whew, yes please. I'd be incredibly funny.
if someone had brought it to me, if Ian had brought it to me in his little flight in the 4-ounce glass, if this Frost Giant was just in a 4-ounce glass, and I finished, I would be like, that is very distinctive, heavy. I don't want any more than 4 ounces of it. I certainly don't want a full pint of it, or God forbid any more.
Not asking for another, no, but no. I'm trying very hard to appreciate all the flavors that are going on in here. It is really reminding me of the night we tried to drink 4 Imperial Stouts from Two Crows, which in hindsight I thought was a great idea, and
I think we both went kind of green at one point.
I think we tapped. Yeah, there was some tapping out. I thought I was going to be violently ill, but we got past that. I don't feel violently ill, but yes, no. The second one of these. And is it the richness? Is it the, okay, we're putting lots of malt in this? Yeah, you are. The malt and the hops and the eggs.
I don't know.
Do I just not like West Coast IPA style?
I've got to say, let's to be really plain about it and to bring it right back to basics, because that's all I can do. I don't really like the taste of it very much. It's that simple, and it's also hard work for me as well. So I can't imagine why I would want another one. I can. There is a certain circumstance where I would want another one. And I'm sure you can guess what that would be. Is literally if someone says, here, there's a free beer for you. I'd be like, yeah, cheers.
Do you know where my mind went to?
Yeah, this... go on.
Okay, you're going to find this really strange. Do you know what this beer tastes like to me? Bad breakups. This tastes like a bad breakup. Because
that's
this
very
is
very existential.
This is exactly the feeling I get during a bad breakup. This is the beverage I want to drink during a bad breakup. Because I want to forget and also kind of, you know, lose all my inhibitions, but also have a little bit of a stomach ache while I'm doing it.
Ross. You know,
it's a punishment, but also a very lucid, freeing experience.
Can I?
So.
It's just, I heard what you said. You equated it to something quite existential. I'm going to equate it to something more in keeping with what it is, a beer, rather than a breakup, but I did hear what
experience.
You said.
Experience.
If you were to open a Holsten Festbock that was some and added something strange to it, I think that's what I would be tasting right now.
Okay. What, an essential oil type situation where you get a
candle wax? I don't know. So I don't know. Whatever it is, something that isn't necessarily invited into my beer. It's kind of got a fest bock. It occurred to me at the in the last few seconds as I'm swigging it. I'm like, it's not a million miles away from that fest bock, which I really quite like. But there's just something else going on there, which makes it quite unpalatable.
See, this is, and I think you're strangely on par with my thoughts because it's good, it's great, and then just as it tips over that little bit, because you're good, you're happy, everything's going great, and then bad breakup. So it's such a good fest bock, but then someone has put precisely one half ounce too much hops
Tabasco
into
sauce.
It that it remixes the malt profile and it makes it a very rich, a very heavy beer flavor. And all of a sudden it goes from fantastic to uninvited. And I feel like this is that little notch just past perfect. I love that they were pushing the envelope to get there. But yeah. Daedalus flew. No, Daedalus gave his son winged slippers, and Icarus flew a little close to the sun. So this is not the Daedalus, this is the Icarus.
I'm just flummoxed. You take me to places. You're like a silver-tongued harlot when you start waxing poetical about things I don't understand, and it's wonderful to hear you. Listen to you all night.
Well, at some point, you'll be glad to hear this. No, you won't. But at some point later on in the year before the calendar end of 2024, I will be having once again one more 24-hour live stream of myself raising money for the IWK. It'll be later on in December. It was planned for this weekend, but I'm going to go watch my daughter play in provincial volleyball tournaments.
Yeah,
which felt a bit more important, as I was told.
Will you be doing that from your living room or from Acadia University or from another place?
The original plan was this coming weekend, this coming Friday, I was going to do it from Acadia because I wanted to try to get some sort of student involvement, but as that has not worked out, I will not be doing anything near as elaborate. And yes, living room, basement, I'm going to plonk down over there and just whatever. Be much, much less of a big thing.
What day are you doing that? Because it happens to coincide, of course, with Rebecca's birthday, and we are away. So
That's different. So the other thing is because I'm going to my daughter's provincial volleyball whatnot, and I won't be doing my IWK marathon at Acadia University. So that all got canceled. So that meant I got 24 hours back, 5 of which I will spend watching my daughter play volleyball. And then Saturday night, I said, because I looked earlier at the fact that, and we're coming all the way back to the fact that I hate the weather currently. The weather is boring and gray and awful and depressing, and it's seasonal depression. Times 10. It's so seasonally depressing. And so I did a little bit of research to find out if there was anything to celebrate. And there are 2 delightful things to celebrate through the dark months that I'm not already. I mean, Christmas, yes. New Year's, fine. Solstice, good times. November 30th.
Scottish thing.
St. Andrew's Day, the patron saint of Scotland. So basically the Scottish St. Patrick's Day is November 30th. And I said, why aren't we having a big party every year? So, because the beer that you helped me make, my Irish stout, which ironically I wish it was a Scottish stout, so maybe I'll just tell everybody that, is ready. So I've invited a few people around saying, hey, why don't we try to start this whole, it's St. Andrew's Day, it's the dark of the year, everything, you know, sucks, but come on in and we'll taste the new stout. That's what's happening Saturday. Rebecca's birthday is the 28th?
No, it's the 30th.
It is the 30th. My friend who lives down in the Halifax region, he doesn't listen. He is the one that I usually am referring to when I mention people that overdo their Scottish heritage. He does that. He's like a 5th generation Nova Scotian, but he's a MacDonald.
Yeah.
So he's very in Pictou County MacDonald. So they are very Highland Games, this and that. So
Rebecca's dad is a MacDonald's from Pictou County.
So he probably owns a kilt.
Oh, I should imagine.
Yep.
And Rebecca did Highland dancing all the way through her school and through her teenage years and through her early 20s, and yes.
And my friend owns a kilt, and he does the big thing. And this is why when people say to me, oh, your parents are actually Scottish, and you're like, and they're born in Scotland, why don't you own a kilt? And I said, because there's... If I own a kilt, someone will think that I'm just a 6th-generation pretentious Scottish douchebag. And you know what I mean? And I don't want to...
Well then, I'll tell you what, if you happen to speak to Tim Vallely soon, ask him how his kilt and sporran is, and ask him how his Scottish heritage is going.
I will. Because he's coming over on Saturday night because his his partner does not have a birthday this coming Saturday. Basically, you've screwed my concept of, I want to celebrate this every year, and I want St. Andrew's Day to be a thing, and let's get together in the dark of the...
Next year.
We'll get you next year. Yeah. But the other thing that that is another celebration that we can't have is Robbie Burns Night. January the...
25.
But again, more dark of winter. We haven't seen it because... You know when you start seeing people in the springtime and you say, oh, we haven't gotten together since just before Christmas. Because there's nothing going on.
Indeed.
I'm taking winter back. Screw these frost giants. The hell with frost giants. I'm taking winter back from them. I'm stealing it. I'm drinking your frost giant winter owning essence 1 ounce at a time.
I hate November. I've always I've not always hated November. It's only since I've been in Nova Scotia that I've hated November. November and February. And those are my two least favorite months of the year now. Just because November is obviously what it is. It's dark, it's damp. I mean, it doesn't even have the flurry of excitement that the first snows of winter brings. It just has this shitty ass, dark, rainy, damp, cold, bone-chillingly blech. Yeah. And it's not even exciting like October is a lead up to Halloween, mm-hmm. and everyone's kind of having fun and having parties, and it's still quite nice nowadays in Nova Scotia. And of course, December has obviously Christmas in it, so you're getting used to, you know, and we're having fun with that. And January has the hangover from Christmas, and it's New Year's Day, and you're like, yeah, okay, let's get into winter now. It's really getting into winter. March, of course, has, even though it's still bloody cold and snowy in Nova Scotia, it has the promise of spring on the 21st, and it also has the wonderful St. Patrick's Day on the 17th, where everyone just goes, let's go nuts, and just because spring is almost here. And so it has all those things. And of course, April is, you can have warm days. February, even though it's only 28 days long, sucks. It sucks so hard, because there is nothing to save it from just the cold, bitter shit of winter.
I can't wait to tell Rebecca how much you dislike Valentine's Day.
I couldn't give a toss about Valentine's Day.
It's in the wrong month. I'll give you that. It's in the wrong month. It's not the month to celebrate. Oh. But I'm taking it back. I am stealing it back. November 30th, Rebecca's birthday. We're celebrating Rebecca's birthday. And just happens to be the... Because honestly, I believe more in Rebecca than the patron saint of Scotland. I don't mind saying that. Yeah, she does.
She does it.
Oh,
real.
Now I got to look up. What did...
You can touch her.
There's a good one.
I'm not saying you can touch her, but you could physically touch her. You can't physically touch her, but if you could...
I can spiritually.
If you could let you, you could physically touch her.
No, I'll spiritual.
Like, you can't do that with St. Andrew, for sure.
All right. Are you ready for why is St. Andrew, the patron saint of Scotland, a saint? The story goes... Andrew, the Galilean fisherman who is singled out to be Christ's first disciple, preached the gospel in the lands around the Black Sea and in Greece, and was eventually crucified on an X-shaped cross in Patras. And that's why the St. Andrew's cross, the flag of Scotland, also happens to be on the flag of New Scotland, the white cross on the blue background. That's what that's from, is the St. Andrew's cross. But has he ever been there? Here?
Andrew? St. Andrew?
Patras. Sounds like Greece, Black Sea,
Greek,
gospel.
It sounds Greek.
He did not make it very far west, this man.
If there's Greek connections there, weirdly, the most English of saints, St. George... I don't know if you've ever heard of St. George. You might have done. He slayed the dragon. Then immediately you think, sounds a bit like fake news. But apparently he slayed a dragon, and he's our patron saint of England. Well, he's Turkish. So the Scottish have got a Greek guy, and we've got a Turkish guy. I don't know, I'm lost.
It's a feast. They have the Feast of St. Andrew. Everyone has a big feast. It's a big party. They get drunk. It's the same as St. Patrick. No one knows why St. Patrick... You ask any person, A, if they're actually Irish, B, if St. Patrick actually did anything to become a saint. But honestly, I think that we'll just slowly turn this into, hey, it's Rebecca's birthday, have a beverage.
Yeah, okay. What do you give Wrightwood's... Frost Giant out of 10, Ross, if you were going to give it out of 10?
I feel like venturing into an 8 or an 8.1 is generous. And sticking to like a 7.7 or a 7.8 is probably more realistic. High sevens, but low eights if I'm actually talking to the Brightwood Brewery brewers. You know? It's a polite low eight.
I feel that they were trying something extraordinary. And it might, I might not be the person that they're aiming this at. There might be people out west on the west coast that say, this is the most extraordinary beer we've ever had. We love it.
Yep.
And unfortunately for them, it's no longer available. But for me, I'm okay with it not being available anymore because I'm not a fan. It's a five and a half, six at best.
To our West Coast viewers and listeners, you need to get your hands on a time travel machine, go back and get some of this because you'll probably absolutely love it. But the West Coast style just isn't working for me.
Maybe. And
I'm so happy that living on the East Coast of Canada and very close to New England, they say, do you want an East Coast IPA? Do you want a New England IPA? And I say, yes. Put it in front of me. Do you want a West Coast IPA? No. Piss off with that noise. I want nothing to do with that. I am not living in the West Coast, sir.
No, that's why the West Coast is 4,000 miles away.
Exactly.
Because that's where you want their beer.
How many iterations of your flavor palette needs to change in order to be okay with this beer out there? But I mean, we've met a number of people that they say, I really like a West Coast IPA. And these are the people that like this hopped up, unbalanced.
Just give that little hilltop brew house, just a little to your lips again. Just purse your lips and take
I already finished it. You made me drink the last sip of it a little while ago, and now it's gone, and I'm very sad.
But the good news is that unlike Brightwood, I can just drive down to Windsor and I'll buy some more.
It's so good. I just put it to my lips, and it was like meeting an old friend again. I was like, oh, hello.
It's very tasty.
Hello, come on in. Yeah. I'm sorry that Ian didn't go on the hilltop one as well. He said it was positively mediocre. I think it's way better than that, but I kind of agree with the Frost Giant. It's not terrible. It's just not my palate, the Frost Giant, and I don't think it'll ever be. Mm. So there we go. Yeah.
He is more of a hop head, so I think maybe the Hopstorm IPA wasn't hoppy enough for him, and perhaps the Brightwood Frost Giant was too rich.
Maybe.
For everyone. I don't know who's drinking a rich West Coast Imperial IPA. That's just, but again, bravery. Well done.
Absolutely. I love your t-shirt.
Yes.
Maybe I'll look at it. I'll ask Brittany where she got that. But no, in secret. You won't know. I'm out of here. Good night.
Pretty sure it was at a second-hand store, but regardless of that, thank you, Ian, for joining me tonight. Thank you to Hilltop Hops for making this delicious beer. And we will miss the Brightwood as they closed many, many moons ago. But get yourself to Hilltop Hops and find yourself some Hopstorm IPA up there in Brooklyn, Nova Scotia, Hants County. You know, in Hants County, the northern part of Nova Scotia, as it were. But we're back here every week, Wednesdays at 8 p.m. Yeah, 8 to 9-ish. We're at late tonight. We started a bit late. So thank you again to Ian. And check out the YouTube page, youtube.com/@drinknsdry. You can find our podcast in all the podcasty places. And you can also go to right to the source at drinkns.unsupervised.beer. I'll see you next week. Have a good night, everyone.